All right, this is Nancy Toss, the chair of the Planning Commission. I am calling the Planning Commission meeting for February 13th to order at 6:03 p.m. Can we do a roll call?
Erin Hughes.
Tina Carlson.
Tina Carlson.
Daryl Fuller.
Colleen Thompson.
Great, thank you. Agenda approval. I have a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda. This is Elena.
Tina will second it.
Tina will second it.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Okay, aye. Unanimous. Any conflict of interest disclosure? Sorry, what? Sure.
Yes. This is Erin Smith, the zoning administrator, and I also work for the Hills Backbone Farms group.
Zealand Hughes, I also sometimes work for the Hills Backbone group.
This is Lacey Allen, and I'm presenting for the conditional use permit, and I also work for the health background group and the town. I'm the deputy clerk. This is why I am up here.
Any further conflict of interest disclosure? Okay. Moving right along, we don't have any minutes to approve for this meeting. I do hope, Lacey, I'll just say it would be really, really helpful to have the minutes from the last meeting available before our next meeting. So we can work on that in the future. Public comments on our agenda. Anybody have comments on our agenda that aren't related to the public hearing on the Hells Backbone conditional use permit? Anybody online with public comments? Okay, gonna move right along. Staff reports. Jessica.
I don't think so.
Okay. No reports from Jessica, Aaron, any staff reports?
So far in 2025, we've had two concept meetings for two parcels down in Lower Boulder and four subdivisions, yeah. And no further progress from that standpoint. And then one conditional use permit, which we're gonna talk about tonight.
Great, thank you. This is something I've asked Aaron in the past to just give us an update monthly or whatever, like we only meet monthly, but whatever, it could be quarterly, I suppose, on the activity in the town, on sort of applications and what we have moving forward. So we have a better idea of sort of what's actually going on in town. Thank you for doing that. Lacey, do you have any staff report? No. And Jessica, you didn't. Okay. Agenda item number 7. I know I'm supposed to say that each time, sorry. I just wanted to follow up. After our last meeting, we had a discussion about some data requests. And you all saw the memo I drafted to the town council. There were two requests we made. One was a follow-up to an offer John had made to write a grant that would help us look at updating some of the data, doing some work on the general plan. And the other was to have some better information on RSTRs as we were trying to look at changing the code. I've got a response back from John that basically said he didn't prioritize, I should read it to you, but he didn't think we were making the right request on the general plan and was not going to support doing that work. So I maybe in his, when he gives his liaison report, he can talk a little bit more about that. But I went back and forth with him a little bit because it was the majority of the planning commission that agreed that having that data to help update our general plan would be helpful. It's not something we need next month, but by the end of the year, as we're trying to work through the general plan. So I just wanted to share with you that that was an interaction that occurred over the last couple of weeks in response to the request we made. On terms of the RSTR data, both John and Josh put together what data they could determine were available. There's a spreadsheet in the meeting folder that lists all of the known RSTRs and the licenses. We will know a little more about those licenses after February 20th, whatever the date is, when business licenses for 2025 need to be renewed. So we'll have a better feel. Jessica can let us know how many of those RSTRs have gotten their 2025 business licenses. So any questions on that from the Planning Commission? Okay. Number eight, direction from the Town Council. This is yours, John.
Okay, thank you, Nancy. Let's see, we've got quite a bit to go over. I will address, it is not, I did make sure the Town Council supported my decision on that, so it wasn't unilateral. But I think the basic thing is there are limited resources and they need to be prioritized. And I've also will share, as I spent many years of my life supporting a laboratory on grant writing, and you have to have a, you have to prioritize what you apply for, because sometimes you have to, you end up taking your turn when to get something. So I think at some point, the questions for the general plan will be much better formulated. And then at that time, it will be appropriate to seek funding once we know exactly what's needed. So, but I do appreciate, you know, the Planning Commission made a request, but the resources are limited. And I hope we can both work respectfully forward from that. Okay. What do you want me to take all the topics right now, Nancy?
So
just, I've got my report. You've seen my liaison notes, so I'll try to, I will not read them verbatim, but do you want me to cover everything at this point?
Yeah, I mean, basically we're looking for the direction from the Town Council on what, you know, we should be working on, or responses to what we are working on.
Okay, very good. All right, then. So at the Town Council meeting, we discussed the RSTR issues, and I think every time I look at it, it gets a little more murky, because I learn more, I see different viewpoints, and they all affect it. But I think the general topics from the Town Council meeting were that the Town Council supports making a distinction between the zoning CUP process, which does belong in Chapter 153, and the administration of business licenses, which is in 110. And to help that, I did on the version of the RSTR document that's in the meeting items file, I did make some notes showing where I thought the break was between business regulation and conditional use, and then also made some other comments on top of the ones that Daryl made. So, and appreciate those comments, Daryl, on the RSTRs. I think there's support on the Town Council for eliminating the annual CUP review. Given that the CUP is essentially a zoning decision, and that's not based on things that could change from year to year. And the fact that non-compliance with the business regulation things is a business regulation issue separate from CUP, which sort of gets into the discussions that I've had within the town council, that there are really two approvals for an RSTR. There's the right to have a business license for an RSTR somewhere in town, and that's distinct from having a conditional use zoning approval to have an RSTR at a particular address. There's also support on the town council for eliminating the complicated formula based on dwellings to having a fixed legislative cap. And I've mentioned that in cases like this, a advisory body can still do their duty without setting a fixed number. You can say to the town council, a number within the range of something to something else would be appropriate for my planning purpose, and not in, and leave it up to the legislative body to make the pick. That's the main things from town council on the RSTR. I do want to. I've been following the work that Nick and Tina have been doing, and watching the email threads. I really appreciate the work that's being done between meetings on this. So thank you very much. Okay. General plan. Both Josh and I consider the reconsideration of the 2017 plan ordinance changes regarding commercial zoning and commercial CUP review to be the top priority. And it's also clear that there, from both the pedestrian path, which happened in the past, and the Arts and Recreation Center proposal, which is in the future, it's very clear that the general plan also needs to give us, as a community, better guidance on the town's capital budget and on the use of town land. So that's the general plan, and the Planning Commission is the place really where these decisions about community priorities need to be hashed out in community vision. So that will also have to be part of the next general plan. Planning Commission bylaws, I mentioned that was a work in progress. There is support on the town council for requiring training for the Planning Commission. And there is understanding of the importance of making the may-shall distinctions. And at Nancy's invitation, I did make very, very extensive comments today. It was about 6 hours of work on the bylaws. Please take those not as mandates. I'm open to people's alternative opinions, but she said it would be cleanest if I put them in the document, so that's what I did. And I hope it proves to be helpful. Then the last one is that at the town council did make a request to the Planning Commission to consider legalizing duplexes. That deadline comes after the RSTR, so Nancy said, well, we'll talk about that next month. And my comments on that are in the written version of my notes and can be available to you for when you're starting to prepare for next month's meeting. Are there anything that I missed or questions about what I said?
Anybody have questions for John, comments? Okay, thank you, John.
All right, well, thank you. And thank you for all the work you're doing. And I'm gonna be sitting here listening, but might turn the video off, but I will still be here.
Okay, thanks, John. So item number 9 on the agenda, I thought it might be helpful given John provides this liaison report to us that if you have any questions or comments, or we want to have any discussion about any of the topics that he just threw out, that we have an opportunity to do that. We haven't had this on our agenda before, but it seemed like, you know, it was an opportunity for us to interact on what the town council is telling us to do. So anybody have any?
You said item number 9 is item number 8.
Item number 9 is the discussion on the town council direction.
Actually, it's 9. The only one's correct, but this one is what got posted. The only thing your original one had meeting minutes, and I just took them out because they're.
Yes, I did. Like you're right. I printed the one that I had in the meeting folder.
This is which one is on there, so you don't.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. For the AI interpretation of our meeting.
Yeah. Yes.
This will be the same. This is agenda item number 8. Any comments or observations? You heard John say that I suggested the direction about duplexes, given we hadn't had any discussion on it. And I do try at the end of each of our meetings to lay out what we're going to be talking about at the next meeting. So it's not a surprise to anybody, but duplexes will be something we can put on our agenda for our next meeting, March. And I did, in a conversation with John, and he had given me the general direction on the bylaws, I said it would be helpful for him to put his comments in the document itself, because then we could go through them as we were looking at the document tonight. I didn't expect him to have quite as extensive comments as he did, so I think it's going to take us a little longer to go through the bylaws tonight than I had hoped. But so anyway, that was my suggestion to him. We can talk about whether that's a good idea in the future. All right, let's move on to the public hearing. And I will say I also decided that rather than us talking about the CUP application ahead of time and then having the public hearing and then talking about it and making a decision on it after the public hearing, that we would have the public hearing, we would ask the applicant to make a presentation, we'd ask Erin, the staff, to give us her interpretation, we'd hear from the public, we would close the public hearing, and then we will have our discussion. So it struck me as being more efficient, but if folks have objections to doing it that way, we can change it in the future. So I need a motion to close the regular meeting and open the public hearing.
Make a motion to close the regular meeting and open the public hearing for this conditional use on the Hell's Backbone Grill. Conditioning is permit for the food truck.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that, Elena.
Any discussion? I guess not. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So the regular meeting is closed. The public hearing is open. And I would like to ask if the applicant would like to make a presentation on their CUP.
Would you like me to go over what I'm like the phases, or do you just want me to give you an overview?
Even if you're not, that's good. Let me bring them up.
Yeah, I can pull them up just in case I miss anything. Okay, so the conditional use permit was submitted to put a food truck at the grounds on the Lodge and Hell's Backbone property. The food truck will be piped in to sewer, water, and electricity. We will also be putting a grease interceptor through to the sewer system, which is required by law through the Public Health Department. With that being said, the food truck will not be able to move. We will be basically fixing it by covering the tires and the trailer. It's actually not a truck, it's a trailer. So you'd have to haul it away with the truck, but it's a fixed building essentially that will be skirted so that it literally can't move. So it'll just be essentially another building on the property that serves food for breakfast. I think it's like 4 pages down.
What are you looking for?
Go through the phases, and I'll just go over those really quick. Okay, so phase one is we're going to install the grease interceptor. Below ground that ties into the septic system. And then we will lay down a gravel pad where the truck will be located. It will be hooked up, like I said, and then we will be creating extra parking around the area. So there will be an update to the parking, which will serve as dinner parking as well. That's pretty much.
Can you talk about the hours of operation?
Yeah, hours of operation will be 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then dinners on Tuesdays and Wednesdays from about 5 to 8, maybe 9 in the summers. But, you know, it's kind of like shortened dinner hours. So they won't, the hours won't necessarily overlap with the restaurant being open at any time. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Lacey, I do have one question.
The part that talks about an improved parking area with more parking spaces, where will those parking spaces be?
So as you drive in the Tesla charger station, the food truck will be located on the grass near that area. And so that whole grassy area where those front rooms are, that will all be changed into more of a parking area.
Okay. So like on that map, kind of in front of those existing spots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome.
So I also parking questions. The so that was my one big question because you know I almost hit somebody and I was going 5 or 10 under. So parking, people just park on the highway and dart out, and it's dangerous. Anyhow,
yeah.
So do you know how many? So I don't know what the sign that there's currently like signs in front of the parking spots and all those spots that we can see right there. I don't know what those limitations are. I assume the charging spots are still limited to charging only. So how many spots are going to be added? So
essentially right now those parking spots say room parking only. The idea was to take away the room parking only spots and then assign room spots for the rooms and then create additional parking so anyone could park there. The number of spots has not been decided. It was kind of dependent on how many we could fit in that area and what makes the most sense, whether we do like a pull-through driveway or not. So it would kind of make sense. We don't know. We don't have a number, but maybe Blake. Maybe it is.
It's also probably worth mentioning that.
Hey Blake, you can't need you up here if you're gonna say.
So I think I'll ask him to come help.
We don't have to say that. We all know that.
We just want to talk about
parking. Yeah.
You just, and anything that you want to say, will you just say it into a mic?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. And then you got to say your name.
Okay. Hi, I'm Nick Barretto, and I'm new in town and new house owner. So we're just going over the proposals and estimates from Adam Rex is going to be our contractor. And what we kind of decided today is when you go in here, this will kind of end up being a fixed circle drive. And then there's 23 additional parking spots that'll be on that.
Nick, you probably need to be at the microphone.
So along Highway 12, in that grassy area, kind of just to the west of the restaurant, there's 23 additional spots. It'll be graded out and on a diagonal, and then it'll be like a circle drive.
So like
one way traffic around.
So it's currently about 6 or 8 or something. I don't know the current number versus that.
That's a good question. I think there's 6 in front of building one, and then there's another, there's probably 12, I think, altogether.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
So I think, I'm not sure if anybody missed it, but they're also taking out a lot of that grass, and that's where the parking lots will be, right?
Yes.
So that's that area where all the grass is in front, where we had the very first 4th of July, will be taken out.
Yeah. So it's
the first near the highway? Yeah, on the highway. Yes,
yeah. Some grass.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is that the grassy area is what you're using for the park. That's what I kind of want to make clear, is that the grassy area is what's being made into parking lot. That'll be a lot smaller now.
Correct, yeah.
That's what I assume, or been told.
It'll be from the fence that runs along the highway there, almost 40 feet in from the fence to allow for the parking spot and the lane of travel.
Okay. Anything else from the applicant in terms of an overview?
Hi, Blake Spalding. The only other thing that I will say is that there's a lot more signs saying lodge parking only than there are need for lodge rooms. So a lot of those signs are coming down and will be available parking. And then additionally, we're going to put in an ADA parking spot by the restaurant, because that's been something we've wanted to do for 25 years. So we'll have an extra spot in the thing that says no parking right by the restaurant will now be for, it'll be handicapped parking. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Aaron, can you give us an overview of your report?
So just in terms of background, the Hell's Backbone Farms Real Estate, BLLC, acquired the restaurant and lodging property located at 20 North Highway 12 in January 2025 and is submitting this application for a conditional use permit to add a food truck on the grounds. The application was received electronically on January 24th, 2025. I, as a zoning administrator, reviewed the application for completeness, and it was found administratively complete on February 3rd, 2025. And I do recommend this approval based on the criteria outlined in the ordinances under 153.152. I can go through those if you'd like.
Sure.
Okay. So Jessica, maybe you can help me through the application as I go down them.
Just
or maybe you could have their application up and I can go through them.
Yep.
Because I think they're organized that way.
Well, we did just see the application.
Okay, so they complete, well, I guess it goes along with it, but the they've submitted a complete site development plan that includes the plan drawn to scale, identifying location and dimension of the property and existing buildings or structures and fence lines. They have submitted proof of ownership of the lot. They have included the location and dimension of proposed buildings, in this case, the food truck. They have detailed the proposed parking plan, including egress and ingress. They have indicated the location of roads and utilities that are currently serving the site. They've included a stormwater plan. They've indicated a plan around landscape. They have included a phased construction approach and schedule and all of the permits that are necessary for the plan as well as operating. They've included a service impact assessment, identifying the water, sanitary, and traffic volumes, proposed access as required. They have included a plan for signage. They've completed, let's see what else. Anything else related to the commercial site development, including waste and a plan for meaning the septic system and the grease trap are primary requirements, plus also a plan for managing garbage. They will be serving on a plated with takeaway possible, but they'll try to eliminate waste in that way as well. So I think that was everything. Thank you.
Thank you, Erin. Okay, let's hear some public comment. That's what this hearing is intended to collect.
Can I get one quick clarification? But you said it was 23 or 26 spaces being added, but are any being deleted? Like, so what's the total change?
Nick, Retta, and I think there's two spots that'll be deleted.
Okay.
Yeah. Any public comment? Anybody online have a comment? Okay, well, I'll take a motion to close the public hearing.
Who seconded this first motion to close?
To open, Elena did.
I make a motion to close the public public hearing and open the regular meeting.
I'll second that one too. Okay, Tina made the motion to close the public hearing and open the regular meeting. Elena seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. All right. Now we get to have a discussion about it. So any input, thoughts, reactions from the Planning Commission? Questions?
So my only comment is I appreciate over and over your conditional use permits and they get better every time. And I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, I don't know for sure on this, but I guess my only thought was that there's nothing we really need to acknowledge as far as how the parking actually goes in. I mean, there's nothing to acknowledge now, but that it is going to go in, and I just want to make that clear that that's what we have at this point. Hmm.
I guess I was very happy to hear that a significant amount of parking is being added because that's going to be a big help. That addressed my safety concerns. Sometimes large vans and vehicles, they're probably still getting on the highway, but if you take, I think it should help. My hope is that it helps a lot. That there's just a handful of larger vehicles on the highway and the bulk of the vehicles are there on the property. And you don't have people blindly, like, you know, if you got motorhome after motorhome, sometimes they don't look when they dart out between the two. That's great. And yeah, thank you for doing a thorough application.
Yeah, I think it looked great. With the parking, I think it's great you guys are adding some. I also, just to point out, I don't think the Little Bone is open at any time that the restaurant is open. So if the restaurant right now can handle a busy Saturday night, it can also probably handle a busy Saturday morning. So even without new parking, I think it would be kind of business as usual. Thanks, guys.
My only comment relates somewhat to what Tina said. I'm glad to have the clarification because there wasn't really anything in the CUP on parking. So it didn't show that there were going to be more parking spaces and it didn't delineate on the map where the parking would occur. So it was very helpful to have you present that as the applicant, but in the future, I think we should have that detail in there. I know you said that
they had had a parking plan, but I didn't see the parking plan. Maybe I missed it. So, any further discussion? If not, I will entertain a motion.
This is Elaine. I'll make a motion to approve the Hell's Backbone Grill conditional use permit.
I want to make sure we move items, we move down to the next item.
This is item number 10. Discussion yes. and potential action.
Oh, good. You're on the right one. I'm on the wrong one. I'm sorry.
Okay, we finished item number 9. This is number 10. Okay, do I have a second on the motion?
I'll second that, Tina.
Okay, we have a motion from Elena to approve the Hell's Backbone CUP and a second from Tina. Any further discussion? All those in favor, let's have a roll call vote on this.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
Daryl Fuller, aye.
Elaine Hughes, aye.
Nancy Tosta, aye. Okay, unanimous decision. Let's move on. Our most fun topic, the Planning Commission bylaws. Can you pull this up, Jessica?
That's too easy, right? That's how it should be.
So these bylaws, Planning Commissions are required to have bylaws. Town councils aren't. And these will be approved by the town council. We worked on it extensively at our last meeting. We made some edits between that meeting and this based on the discussion at the last meeting. I had been hopeful that this would be a 15-minute discussion tonight, but we'll see. So let's go through it.
Thank you.
Bye. Let's go through it. Jessica, I'm going to need you to scroll down here.
To which, just the beginning?
Just beginning. So one change I made at the top right here, I put a version number on it, even though this is not the first time we've seen it. I figure let's start tonight. We'll call it version 1.0, February 13th. And then when the town council approves it, they can approve a specific version. John put some notes on the top here that I've crossed off because I think he's addressed many of those topics throughout his comments. The first paragraph comment there, and maybe you can make it a little bit bigger if you don't mind, Jessica. Thank you. So he's made the comment that these overlap 153042, which is the part of our code that establishes the Planning Commission. I think there's some overlap. Whether we want to take the time, and I kept thinking as I'm reading through this, do we be conscious of not having perfect be the enemy of the good? The intent is to try to get these done. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this. I don't want to spend a lot more meetings on it. So I am inclined to say if it's, you know, close enough, if we've got a little bit of overlap, it doesn't bother me. Tell me among you all if it's a concern, and then somebody's going to have to walk through our current code and then what we have in here and say, well, we don't have to have it here because it's already in our current code. Like we appoint 5 members to create a planning commission. Does anybody have concerns, or can we just move forward and know that there may be some overlap? These are advisory. This is not law. This is not an ordinance. They're advisory to how we do our work.
Well, I would say as long as the, I'm sorry. I would say as long as they're consistent with whatever overlap we have, we're fine.
Okay.
So, and I guess maybe I could, yeah. I'm not convinced they are advisory.
They're not. They were stated by the attorney that they are not advisory.
Yeah. So.
But they're not an ordinance.
So for example, yeah. Like the very last clause, like the very last page, last clause, the whole thing about shall versus may, I don't think they are advisory, and to treat them as such is very risky. So every time we say shall, then we should expect our feet to be held in the fire. And so if the answer is that we don't, there's any circumstance when we don't comply with it, then effectively we're saying, then I'm fine with being, then violating that means that the town gets fined X $10,000, you know, like tens of thousands of dollars, because that potentially is the consequence for messing it up. So like the last thing where we say that,
Can we wait till we're going to go through the documents?
That's just my point is, if we're, I don't understand the purpose of voluntarily adding a bunch of things, adding a sword of Damocles over my head, if I don't have this thing memorized and if we're not going to do it absolutely perfectly every single time, because there's potential significant risk and
Okay, well, I know you went through in some places, Daryl, and we made changes based on the last meeting discussion. So let's see if there are more that remain to be optional and not mandatory. Okay. So John had some other comments in here. I don't believe they contradict town code. I mean, I've gone through it several times. I guess, you know, if somebody sees something as we go through this, then please point it out and we can make a change. John's second paragraph there, nothing in these bylaws addresses the appellate role. I disagree with that. Our very first, if you go down a little bit, Jessica, the authorities and duties based a little further say that as provided under the Boulder Town Code, while our planning commission guideline 153.042 says we will act as an appeals authority. So it, to me, you know, that is our responsibility, as he's saying up there. So I think we do all the things that he's concerned about. So I'm not concerned about his comment there, but if anyone else is, raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to move on if I don't hear your comment. So the disclaimer language from Grand County, I'm okay putting something like this in at the front end. These bylaws are not adopted by ordinance, do not have the force of law. They are advisory guidelines only. Now, Jessica, it seems to me you're telling me you disagree with this, or?
Well, what the lawyer told us.
Read the very first sentence in black you're saying two things in these two paragraphs that are just sitting on top of here of these bylaws and rules of orders and procedures shall govern proceedings of the Boulder Town Planning Commission shall govern. And then right here, you're saying they're not, they're just guidelines. So, I mean, as the advisor, it's not my opinion. I'm just stating things that have been stated to the Planning Commission before.
Okay. Let me, Michael, I know you're on line and,
I set to work on editing and revising the bylaws that you had forwarded to me this afternoon. And have you had a chance to review my changes? Okay, they're fairly extensive and exhaustive. I'm sorry to drop that on you at this late in the day, but I mean that would be my starting point.
Tina, in that case, I suggest that we table this until another meeting.
Okay. You want to make that motion?
You make a motion, we table this until the next meeting or so.
I'll second that. That's okay, but I wanted to second
it. We can discuss it now.
Yeah. Okay, my point is that on top of priorities, this is pretty low, in my opinion. And so I think we need to see what our lawyer has to say and then move on from there.
Okay.
So what happened? Did you send him the bylaws today and then he got back to you?
So there, when, yes. So I
noticing all the changes that were going on and my concern about it. I sent him to, and so John was in the document this morning. I started to respond to his changes, and then John was back in the document this afternoon. I couldn't keep up with all the changes. I sent Michael Wynn the 3 o'clock version because I could see they were still changing. He wasn't in this folder, so he had a Word file that he was looking at. And I think I got it. I saw that I got an email from him, but I haven't even looked at it, so I don't know what his comments are. So we have a motion on the table to table this discussion until our next meeting, or our next meeting, I think is what you said, Tina. And it was Tina made the motion, Colleen seconded it. Any further discussion on that motion?
I don't think it needs to be this next meeting if it doesn't work.
Okay, so wording wise, then we should amend it. The next meeting or later.
Her wording when she made the motion was conversation on bylaws until next month or later.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay. So it's unanimous. This was something that was a holdover from last year that, you know, we need bylaws. Let's get them done. I was hoping it would be a little simpler process than it seems to have turned into. So, but a future meeting.
May I make a comment?
Yes.
I think that it might make sense. I mean, with Michael's version, it's a different story, but with John's comments, even just with those, it's hard to look at changes that are this extensive in real time in the meeting and, you know, reading this disclaimer for the first time and deciding on the spot if we think it's appropriate or not. So I almost think the best way to do it is for us to, you know, if we had done this again, if we could do this over, us just look at this by ourselves, and then we're changing to the third Thursday of the month, so then the town council will get it the next week, and if they want to deny it or send back a bunch of changes, they can do it at that time. But to have someone else's comments in here that are this extensive the day of the meeting and seeing them for the first time during the meeting is really confusing, I think. So my comment would be to not operate that way.
So this document has been out there for a month. The day after our last meeting, I put the draft up. I can't control when people comment. John, I know, has had comments all along why they didn't come in. And they've been generic comments, and there were 3 of them. It was training, role of the chair, and there was one other category he just said when he spoke with us. I had no idea that they were going to be this extensive. So, I agree, it doesn't work like this. So
yeah, I think maybe what makes sense is, I mean, usually I feel like we only have commenting, we were talking about this earlier, usually we only have like commenting ability, not editing ability. And I guess what I'm suggesting is that maybe only planning commissioners have commenting ability, and then maybe we send it to town council and then they can send it back to us if they want to. But to have one town council member on there doesn't seem like it makes sense to me. It feels like it should be a planning commission document until it goes to town council.
I just want to make sure too, he does only have commenting. This is commenting. So if you can see up there, they are edits that are in there, but he does not have the ability to actually make edits. That's a different.
No, he's been writing.
He's been writing it in the
document. Correct, but they are. They don't actually physically change. That's what editing is when you actually edit the document. So right now I can go through and exit. None of these are real. And so this is commenting under this rule. So if you want him to only be able to visually see, that is a different conversation. So look, if you look on the side, like what I'm showing you here, these are not actual edits in there. He is going to write his comments in the document. There's
so you're saying just the comments on the side rather than changing the pages?
No. Anytime that you even do something in the page, that is a comment. And that's why it's accepted or it's denied. But I just want to make sure that as you guys say that is what he has, that is what he's doing right now. So then when you say that, it almost sounds like you're asking for visual only.
I've definitely been on documents though, and I'm not saying I know how to do it, but I've definitely been on documents where you cannot write, like it doesn't show up that way. So maybe that's a formatting thing, but I've definitely been part of shared documents where your comments are only in the column.
And I have too. So this is different. And I would prefer that that were the case. I did talk to Jessica this afternoon. I don't have the ability to accept or deny any of these things that John has written. Jessica does, but I don't. Now, this may be a matter of, I tend to produce documents in Word, and then she converts them to Google Docs. I find Word to be a whole lot easier to write in and edit. So if I produce documents in Google Docs, then I can own them, I guess, and then accept they're not the changes. But I agree with Elena. I have worked in Google Docs where it is only comments down the side. It isn't changing the text in the document. So I don't know, we may need to just look into what, what that function is.
And with that, only because you are the one, we have already in a meeting discussed this too, that all documents should be made in Google, not in Word, because that is that thing, even you were just stating that you had sent a document to Michael in Word. And so then we'll convert that and I'm the one who does it. So then you will then have, like, it does need to be through the Google Drive. It is what the town has. It's what everyone has. So to be able to see the transparency of every change being made, it should be made in the exact same document, start to finish in Google Docs.
Okay. I will attempt to improve my, my Google Docing, yes. I was going to say something else. Oh, Elena, your suggestion that, you know, we do our edits and we draft it and then we send it to the town council and they send it back to us. That's not the way, I mean, in theory, we send them a final document and they then may tweak it and make changes. And knowing that John did have concerns, I suggested that he put some edits in the document. I just had no idea how far he was going to go. And I want to say, John, we do have a lot of priorities and we're trying to get this done. And we can't let perfect be the enemy of the good. I mean, I just, you know, let's get it far enough along. It's our first draft of bylaws. If we want to change it next year, we can change it. So I'm frustrated that we feel like we're going backwards. And that, you know, was not my hope here. So anyway, let's move on from this. We've tabled it. And we get to talk about our STRs, which is agenda item number 12. And I do hope all of you have had a chance, or as soon as possible, you will take a look at the CUP training. It's very helpful. We'll give you different insight on how we should be writing ordinances to reflect standards in the cases where we want to have, we will have CUPs that govern actions in our town. You don't have to have, we don't have to have conditional use permits, which is an interesting thing you'll discover as you go through that training. We can permit things or not, or say things are not permitted and not allow conditional use permits. That's a whole different discussion. So RSTRs, Tina, you were going to give us a report on.
Okay, let's see. Nick and I got together a number of times looking at the RSTR and talking about it with the idea that we were reviewing the whole document. Well, that has changed now as the town council has requested that we basically keep this to, we really do need more time to actually decide if there needs to be land use changes in the ordinance or not. But at this point, because of the 6-month limit, we're going to work on clarifying what's actually in the document, not changing any of the requirements, and making it clear that the business license is the point at which, after the CUP is actually approved by the Planning Commission, then it does not go back to the Planning Commission for review. It's basically set up so that the CUP holder actually has a form through the clerk that they can fill out to prove that they are actually doing what they're required to do for a CUP on an RSTR. So those are the clarifications that we're going to try and do. And then you know, John said something about that it needs to be split between, you know, what exactly the zoning approval is for, but the CUP, as I understand it, has the requirements that are specific requirements in it that we use to as our standards for approving the CUP. Now, if we get into the nitty-gritty of like, is that a zoning approval or a, you know, is that exactly what's in a zoning? I mean, for instance, this last CUP we just looked at, I mean, the sign was in it, the, you know, there were requirements in it that was required based on land use. And so I think that the RST will actually have a lot of the things that are in it already, but will refer to the fact that the year, you know, make it clear that the clerk will, or the RST approval, I mean, the CUP approval for that RST will be a yearly review, but it does not come through us. It stays the same as an RST. You know, as a CUP, it stays the same, but the requirements for approval will go through with the business license that happens yearly.
Right. So as per, you know, town council suggestion, there is not an annual CUP. There's a one-time CUP.
Correct.
There's the initial application, and then it's a business license renewal.
That's correct.
Right. Okay.
So sorry I was not on the same page, but I had made my own Google Doc for this, so I have been working on that. pretty much will be sending you out a document that will be pretty hard to read, but will show exactly what I did and the changes that I did, because if you do go through this RSTR, it's impossible to get your head around what is required for this.
This is very messy.
And I would like to make it more like we did. What was the last one we did? That
subdivision.
Yeah, where it's very clear that, you know, you can do an RSTR. It's, you know, and it can reflect exactly that in your documents that you're making. So that's, you know, so that when we do have the form online, and people can actually go online and fill it in, then it's perfect. Yeah. And I think that's what we should do for all of them, to be honest with you. But, so that's what I have been doing. And thanks, Daryl, for commenting and everything. But it's going to be look a lot different when you see it. It's
okay. So a couple of things. There are... You were working in a different document. This is the document that was in the meeting folder that I know Daryl has made comments on. I started to go through it, but I knew we were going to have a discussion that was different than, you know, what we really needed to do on this. I was trying to focus on the sort of bigger issues of how many RSDRs, do we have RSDRs? How many RSDRs, where are they? Not the nitty gritty of the writing. John has pointed out here that, you know, as the code is currently written, A through D primarily involve what we need to write in code, the land use zoning. And then a lot of the other stuff later in the document, which goes from, part of D to D2, and then everything E, F, all of those other sections are work that the town council will do because it relates to business licenses.
I think that, yeah, but I don't think that a lot of them are still land use issues, even though, I mean, that's my opinion. My opinion is there's still land. So a lot of them will still be in there and we can decide.
Okay. All right. We'll see a draft. I'd like to suggest that we have a public hearing on this at our next meeting. We have to have something to the town council by April. So whatever draft Tina has, I think having the public have some exposure to it at our April meeting and maybe asking some of those broader questions of, do we have RSDRs in Boulder? If we do, how many? Where are they? Do we have zones? You know, to sort of those broad questions that some of which the town council has identified as an issue.
You said April was last time. You want the public March.
And we need to get a draft to the town council by April. They have to do something by June, I think. So that gives them a couple of meetings to work on it.
Okay. And again, I'm not changing any of the requirements that are in there at this point, because I think any of the requirements that are in there at this point need to go to a public hearing clearly in public input, and it's not going to happen before June.
Well, that's what I'm suggesting. Next month. We do this in March. We have some public discussion on, you know, do we keep this number 15% of occupied housing, or do we say there are five in this zone and five in this zone and five in this zone? Yeah. That would be part of our public hearing.
So we'd have that public hearing and then we would finalize whatever code we want to send to town council that night?
At our April meeting.
At our April meeting, and then send it to them.
So they'd actually get it in May.
Well, Nick and I actually talked about this in the beginning because we figured that that's what we were going to do. But we both decided that it has to be clearly a public input and that just a hearing is not necessarily the best tool to use for this. Because there's basically a survey would actually help more people actually have comment that we can actually use for any decision. And I mean, the town wants us to have a number, but in a CUP, going through the training that we just had decided or been given, standards are clearly needed and just a number is a pretty arbitrary standard, in my opinion. And the 15% makes it more comfortable for me.
That's arbitrary too, though, right?
I think it could be definitely.
We could say 20%.
Well, we could say that, but in our community, with the housing issues that we are, we stuck with 15%. If we want to change that, then that's fine. But a set number to hold in a ordinance without, you know, to, for the changes and things that might happen in the future, it would be easier if it was a percentage.
Yeah, well, one option would be to have, yes, a survey. I know you and Nick talked about that. So could we draft a survey and get it out before our March meeting? That would be one option. Or we have a public meeting, not a public hearing, where we have some interaction and discussion and, you know, options for more communication. Either at our next meeting, or we could have a special meeting where we talked about it. And then we would have a hearing at our April meeting and try to finalize with some code.
Seems like we might, I hate to say it, but it seems like we might need a special meeting on this at some point, because I feel like if we're trying to finalize something in April for them, this is like a pretty messy one, you unearthed a lot. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot going on with this one. And I think to try to do it in March and April only is ambitious. So I think we probably will need a special meeting in there.
Another benefit to tackling it right away is that we get people who enjoy Boulder enough to spend the winter here. And that's frankly a lot of the meat of this is saying that, look, we don't want anybody to just run a gazillion RSTRs, and that's why we limited it to people who actually live here full time. And so yeah, like, I think there is a probably wide agreement that nobody wants Wall Street to come in and buy up half a Boulder and then turn it into RSTRs. And so things like that, if we can absolutely lock that out, maybe our first version is a little bit more restrictive than we want, but it's a lot easier to do that than to find ourselves with outside corporations running a third of our RSTRs. So I think we can figure out at least the stuff for people who live here. And because on one hand, yeah, we don't want a gazillion of them. It chews up housing. It changes the town. Different Island Park, Idaho has huge problems in this area. But then also it does provide jobs to people too. So it is a dance. We need to hear all the opinions.
So a public meeting would be okay in your mind. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just say that is in our ordinance now. All of those things are in our ordinance now. We're really looking at just how many, basically how the percentage or the number that's
well,
the rest of
but
it.
But also where, I mean,
well,
we have
true.
Zone.
And in general, we could rezone how we want it.
To rezone it, right, we could.
You know, hang on, Colleen, better hand.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Did anybody listen to the webinar that John?
The CUP what?
Yeah. And so the only thing I have to say really is I do believe that it's also a controversial subject because I was involved in the last RSTR. It was probably when it went into effect, the largest meeting that we ever had in Boulder, and people were very unhappy. It has to do with what people feel they can do on their land opposed to as everything in that webinar we went through when we did the RSTR. And so I thought that was very interesting that we touched on a lot of subjects. I thought it was fascinating that some people haven't even touched the subject in their town and how behind they are. I also felt that there was acknowledgement as far as the percentage, that we're not the only ones that are doing it on a percentage level, that it is, there's nothing wrong with that because you can use that percentage as your town grows, as your town is growing. And so there were reasons, and I'm going to clarify this by saying too, you want to dig into the RSTR and change it, go for it, but be prepared because we put a lot of work into it the first time. Yeah, I know that administratively that there needs to be work on it, but I think you need to be careful if you think you're going to open up the whole RSDR.
Do you have a sense of how what percentage was kind of this 15% on the very low end, or is that on the about where people are shooting if you averaged all the comments from earlier input?
The thing is nothing's been said about the RSTR, and we didn't actually have a percentage when the Planning Commission sent it to the Town Council. Town Council was the one that put the percentage on it. Am I right, Jessica?
Yes.
So that was, we did not put a percentage on it at that time. And so everything else was left the same until it went to the Town Council.
So you guys had it as a set number when it went.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, and I think that the RSTRs here have worked. It's just when we talked about this too, everybody wants to have an RSTR. Everybody wants, but not everybody can have one. And we never thought that they would all, and this is something that I think is maybe something interesting was, looking back on it, we never thought that the first licenses would all be down in the exact same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Neighbors would take those RSTRs and that some of them are being used and some of them aren't because they wanted I mean, that's another thing that I find very interesting. So the middle section of town, I don't think there's, I think there's only one RSTR in the middle section of town. And so, I mean, you know, go for it. Try to figure out a different way of, you know, like we looked at all of that. So that's all I'm just saying, you know, that's my only comment. When you think that you're going to open this up, you're opening up a big can of worms because we did the same thing.
So,
and I think it works. I think the administrative thing is what Jessica and what some people asked for. That was what it was, what was asked for. So that's my comment.
Okay. Elena, I know you had a comment and then Tina.
Yeah, I agree that it would be a big can of worms, which is why I'm sort of overwhelmed by the thought of doing it by April. But I guess part of me thinks it might be a can of worms worth reopening, because I know you guys did those same exercises at the time of thinking of all of that. But in terms of getting public input on it, now it's been happening for, I'm not sure how many years. Do you know, Colleen, when that happened?
Oh, 2019.
Okay. So it's been 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we all know, when we're creating things for the first time, we are making, you know, we're making educated guesses of what will work.
Yeah.
And so now that it's been out there in people's neighborhoods and houses and things for 6 years, I would be curious what the public thinks now.
Well, I think another comment that I'll make too is, after we did the RSTR, we also did right after that the ADU.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to make sure that people had options. And so that was the other thing that we did, was if you couldn't qualify for an RSTR, you had another option, basically. And that option hasn't really been used. Although it has, I think it's actually, I don't know why I even just said that, because it has there are people, it gave us more housing rentals because of that people. So I'll make that comment too. Those two ordinances were made one right after the other to accommodate as many people as we could.
Okay. Tina.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
I found a way of going through all those records. It was pretty amazing. The other part of this that I think needs to be included when we do this is that we have RSDRs, we have B&Bs, we have guest ranch, and how we actually come up with a number should probably include all of them, because they're all in neighborhoods.
And they have similar impacts.
And who created that document that I looked at today that had those? They were defined.
The spreadsheet, the comparison spreadsheet. One?
Yeah.
Oh, the comparison.
Okay. Yeah.
John.
And so it did. I mean, if John created that, it showed in there. Another comment that I'll make too is, as we do this, I think that people need to understand the impact that it makes on our community. As far as, I work at Hills and Hollows, and when people come, it goes back to our infrastructure, what we have to offer people as far as food. People come out here and they do not understand why we don't have restaurants open for them. They're in Airbnbs. Why we don't have this service, why we don't have that service. And those are things that I see at Hills and Hollows, and to be careful about what direction we go, as far as when we talk to the public in the businesses too, because our infrastructure, we just, you know, it we're in an interesting place because we're so small still. And what we have to offer the people that are coming into our town, you know, guest ranches, RSTRs, guest ranches, you have food there available. So anyway, that's something that I've thought a lot about too recently, working at Hills.
So I'd like to make a couple of comments. We are small, and well, there's sort of intentionally small, and most people who live here like it that way. Now, can you say nobody else can come, or
you know, you don't want a lot of tourists. No, you can't really say that. But it seems like the regulations, the ordinances that have been put in place, whether it's a 5-acre zoning minimum or the way RSDRs were regulated, have had an intention of sort of managing how Boulder grows and the character of Boulder. I do think RSDRs, they've become an issue everywhere in the world. Yeah. And there are cities, you know, that have eliminated them and basically said prohibited more in their communities. I think the Planning Commission, when it went through this and the Town Council 5 years ago, thought about that and thought about, you know, how do we limit how much of the housing in Boulder becomes an RSTR, and potentially has succeeded reasonably well. We haven't had the overrun that many other communities have. I think it's probably time to take a look at it again and say, is it working? You know, if it's worked well, then let's reaffirm that this is our intent. Whether we try to do that, and April, I think the moratorium on RSTRs was, it was 6 months, so it's the end of June. So the Town Council, you know, if we got something to them in May, they would have two meetings to do it. So I, you know, we've sort of shocked for trying to have something to them in April, but we may have a little more leeway there than being that, doing it that quickly. But whether we want to just try to fix the admin piece of it, sort of take the admin out of this and let the Town Council fix it, because it's not actually our job. I mean, they will have to address what, how you apply for a business license. And the specifications in the CUP, though, relate to zoning and, you know, what happens on the ground as a use. So they are intermingled. And I know when I sat down with Tina and looked at this code, it just sort of go, oh my, this is very hard to interpret. We could try to just say, this is the administrative piece of it. We'll do a little bit and try to hand it to Town Council, not worry about whether we have zones, whether B&Bs and RSDRs are the same, whether it's 15%, and say that we're going to try to address that over the next year. Or we could say it's an important issue. It's going to hit us and it's going to keep hitting us, and we need to deal with it. And so it is a priority. So I think that's a decision we need to make, whether we're willing to have some additional meetings, whether we want to do a survey, do a public meeting and then a public hearing, and then the time frame within which we want to do that. So those are some of the things we need to decide.
Well, I also think that, you know, I'm looking at this right now where they've just put duplexes on. And so to me, that's going to open up a whole new avenue of more people having the opportunity to be here, RSTRs and duplex. I mean, that opens up another whole can of worms too. And so not only are we trying to do RSTRs, which seem to work here in town the way that they are, but now they're asking us to look at duplexes, which is another thing that's going, I mean, it's just, to me, it's just like, you know, whatever. So anyway, that's
it. Elena.
Thanks, I'm just trying to remember what I was going to say. Yeah, I agree with what you were saying that we need to pick between those two options. And I guess a third option could be do the administrative stuff and then say to the Town Council, this is what we think you need to pass to be workable. And then we still want to do an overhaul of some kind, or maybe not an overhaul, but like look at it and get public input. But I think that could be the option if we feel like we won't have something for them to be done with by June. If we could get them something only administrative and then still say we'll go back to it. Because I personally think it should have a good look through and public input and all that.
So Tina, you know, we know that, so there's something in here now that says you have to have a CUP every year.
we can change the code to say, take that out, yeah. Right? Maybe there are other pieces of this, and that was sort of when I asked folks to look at it and flag things, not all the editorial stuff, but, you know, are there pieces of this that we can agree we might want to change? So that's one. I mean, even RSDRs are allowed in all zones in town. Is that, you know, we want that? Or do we want to say, you know, they're just allowed in certain zones, not even R3, you know, what the town looks like. So could we go through this and maybe even as part of a public meeting, you know, to get some input on those things?
Well, I think that before we even do that, and I don't know why this keeps being put on the back burner, is talk about zoning. As far as if, you know, like we keep putting that on the back burner too, when we know it's something that we have to do. And so we're going to change something that probably should be done after. I mean, I think that's another thing that I'm having a little bit of an issue with, is because we have this issue that we need to talk about, but it seems to be put on the back burner so that we can talk about things that have to do with zoning. And so I feel this vicious circle.
Yeah. And then the general plan deadlines. The general plan pops up in there because in theory we want to look at it and potentially make changes to it before we do the zoning changes, because it defines, you know, our vision and sort of what we might want to do in zoning.
And so, I have a question too, because is this something that somebody told me as far as our general plan is that we don't have a master plan. And a master plan would actually, most cities have master plans, you know, and they have more to do as far as how you're developing your town.
Yeah, and I think—
Did you work with the master plan?
We called them comprehensive plans. That's okay. What they were called in Washington State. Yeah. And they were very detailed,
yeah,
transportation,
mm-hmm,
infrastructure. What I heard John say earlier when he talked about the general plan is some of the details, like, you know, how we use certain lands. I think the town council is looking at potential changes in our general plan that would be more like a master plan. I hesitate to say we're going to write a master plan independent from a general plan. But Elena, you just made a comment. We're having these deadlines put on us, like, you know, because there's a moratorium on RSTRs, we have to get something done before and get it before the town council.
And that was administrative.
That was administrative. Yeah. The town council made, yep, that decision, yep, without consulting us.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of keep getting these deadlines. Like, I feel like we used to kind of like make our own plan for the next few months. And now it feels like we have, mm-hmm, these timelines and it's like, okay, well, we have to do these things, even though maybe it makes sense to do this thing first, but there's a timeline on this other thing. And we know it's going to take us a few meetings and them a few meetings. So we have to just focus on that. It feels like obviously the subdivision stuff was a state thing we had to do, but I don't know. Sometimes it feels like it's
not efficient. Yeah. Well, the town council does direct our work. We're advisory, yeah, to them, but it does feel like we're three steps forward and, you know, four steps backwards. We know we want to work on the general plan and it will provide the overview. Zoning, I totally agree with you, Colleen. I mean, yeah, we need to work on the zoning and that may change. Then where do we allow RSDRs?
Exactly.
So it's a dilemma. So how do we do something administratively so that the town council is free of the moratorium it's put on itself? And then we move on with other priorities.
Before you, I wanted to give just a tiny bit of, just because you brought up the percentage. From my
you
point
need
of
a
view,
microphone.
Just from my point of view as an administrator, just kind of like want to talk on that part. So percentage or number, I have zero opinion about. The way that the ordinance is written right now, when ordinances are not written clearly, they're left up to interpretation. And so what interpretation does, when you get to leave things up to interpretation, it then becomes inconsistent. And so the way that the ordinance is written now, it's very easy to use that 15 percentage and say, you know what, I'm going to base this off of, like, if someone wants a new one and they're like, hey, is there still room to have a CUP or a new RST I'd like to apply? And I can say, well, you know what, that ordinance was written in 2019 off of the 15% that was meant at this one time. No, there are no permits open. Then 3 months comes down with no, like, I don't even think this is being done with actual thoughts, just every interpretation, you're going to interpret it differently. So 3 months down the road, someone asks me the same thing, and I'll be like, you know what, actually, we're just going to, we're going to say 15% off of right now, today, 2025. It's going to be a very different number. And so now maybe that has opened it up that someone now gets a permit where 3 months ago, because I interpreted it away. So that's what, just as you guys decide, whatever way you're going to do it, not leaving it up to interpretation. And that's our biggest thing, is I just feel like there's, it makes inconsistencies in the way that we function as a town and as the administration. And I think that's kind of what I could see, is that there was this huge gap between like when RSTRs. And so I don't think anyone purposely was like, I'm going to do this. No, just we kind of forgot. And we're like, well, this time we'll just do it this way. So just as you decide, whatever way that is, to make it very clear, however you're going to do it, so that there is not the interpretation side, so that we can make sure to have consistency throughout our entire town.
Right. And can I just say that there was something in there that said there had to be, there a person could get on a list.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was a person who was on the list, then if something came up, then they would be contacted, right?
But that's what I mean. There wasn't a list because there was openings. We never reached max capacity.
Except for older.
Maybe, and that's up to interpretation of when you count those. And that's what's also as hard, is that, like, when Josh and I dove into that, and I don't have it in front of me right this second to know, but the way that you also found that 15% was off of, I think it was like full-time residents.
Right.
But that was hard because, like, so I, Jessica, live here full-time and have full-time.
I know. I disagree with that. So, I disagree with how that's written.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was meant. I think renters, full-time renters, and anything that was a full-time residency is considered, not whether you owned it or whether you rented it.
Totally. So that's just what I mean. But it's not written that way. So it just brings up a lot of those.
All right. I'm definitely getting stuff together. I will have it as soon as I can. I'll send it out all to you. And we can make comments on it and discuss it next meeting. With a hearing?
Well, if we have a meeting, not a hearing? A public meeting as part of our next meeting, or do we have a special public meeting? Because I do think, like, this whole percentage thing to me is honestly unworkable, because you have to recalculate it all the time, unless you say 15% of the houses that were occupied in 2019 when this was passed, you know, and meanwhile you've added, you know, 15 new houses. And so the 15% changes. The benefit of the percentage is you potentially allow for RSTR growth. The disadvantage is somebody has to be calculating it every month to try to figure out 15% of what. But do we want to have a public discussion before or in our next meeting about these issues? The way the code is written now, the way we should be writing it. And in the meantime, you know, we know we're going to take out the annual CUP requirement. So there's some parts of it will change. The business license, you know, we can say to town council, fix it. You know, it has to be fixed by January of 2026, because that's when the next renewal would occur. But this arbitrary moratorium has been put in place that we somehow have to eliminate. I suppose the other option is we simply eliminate, you know, suggest to the town council that they rescind that moratorium, you know, and we leave the code the way it is now while we work on it this year.
That's an interesting idea, because then it gives us more time to work on it, and all those, it's true, right, that all the people for 2020, people just renewed.
Right, they were there in 2025.
So it's like, yeah, we might have a new one or two that people apply for, but most of the 2024, 2025 thing has kind of already been taken care of separately. So rescinding it might actually be the easiest thing in a way. Or I suppose we just work on it and try to get it done by June. And if we don't, then they take away the moratorium and we're still Maybe that's the way to do it. Because rather than rescinding it now, then we have a little more time and we just tell them if we don't finish in time, we say, sorry, we'll be ready
soon. We might need a couple more with this one until then.
But. Yeah. I think that that could work. Because I do think trying to do it in time for them in April or May would be challenging. Because it is a big can of worms.
So if we were to think about that route and what you just suggested, Tina, you redraft something, bring it for our next meeting, we talk about it, and then we talk about the next step, a public meeting or a public hearing or whatever, knowing that in the back of our mind, we'll simply tell the town council, you ought to rescind this, and we're going to get it done when we get it done.
I think that makes sense, because I think it's good when we've discussed things before we have public input, because then if people are following and paying attention, they know what they're commenting on, because they know what ideas are even being considered.
Well, and I agree with that, too, because Daryl always makes a point when we have a public hearing, you give the public this false sense that, this weird false sense of public input when it's administrative, is that what we want, or do we just do the administrative thing and get ready to see how people feel about the RSTR and where it sits? Can we make that deadline if all we do is a couple of administrative things? We've given the town council what they want in that time frame, and then move on to doing something different with the RSTR. I mean, I think that we can get them what they want administratively in the next month or two, if that's what they, because that's all they want right now.
So, do we have the numbers that Tina needs? So do we know, according to how we define it, like how many people, how many current residents qualify as a local resident?
No.
Do we know the exact number of RSTRs in existence? I think we do.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
But we don't have a number on how many people would
right. fall what under 15% that. Is. We don't know that.
Is it possible? That's because good. When you look at these things, and like when we did Anson and Alex's recently, they're mostly one of the main things is like your voter record and that you're registered to vote here rather than somewhere else. Is there an easy way for us to find out how many people are registered in this town? I mean, that's not households, though. That's people. There's not.
There is. There's resources to do all of this. It just means the work that's behind it.
Yeah.
And how much of that gets done. We can also find out how many are full-time residents. That just has to be done every single time for the percentage. Yeah. And that's also.
And is that the avenue you would take is the voter records to figure out the
residents? No, it goes through the county. And it's through. It's not. It's
when I called the county, I didn't get a response. So it's probable that there's just a lot more painstaking detail that we have to push on.
Okay.
It was not an easy answer.
Gotcha.
It wasn't easy the first time either. Michaela did it. It took her forever.
Maybe contact the GOP rep and the DNC rep, and the odds are they have a pretty good pulse on who votes and how many voters are registered, things like that. So maybe that's the fastest way to get.
I think the easiest way would be building permits. I mean, like the increase in whether building is occupied. I mean, I guess we don't know when it's occupied.
You don't know. I mean, you know that they built it, but you don't know if they live there. So in the interest of moving this along, are we comfortable having Tina and Nick draft some language? And potentially, based on some of the comments that Josh and John have both made on this, saying to the TC, okay, you've identified this as administrative, you deal with that. And have a discussion at the next meeting on sort of what that looks like. I mean, what we've passed on to them and what Tina drafts as something we should be working on. We know that's not going to be clean because, as you said, Tina, it's sort of intermingled. I mean, you can't write a CUP or the business license without knowing what's in our, what's actually in the ordinance. But it's a start. And then we take it from there. You know, if we think we've made good progress, then maybe we have some sort of a meeting or a hearing at our April meeting or between our March and April meeting, and we draft something that can go to the TC. If we're not that far along, we can suggest to the TC that they rescind their moratorium and, you know, we'll keep working
and let us work on it the way we need to, yeah.
Does that make sense as a path forward? Yay, nay. I see Colleen nodding her head.
And Nick and I have already set up a bunch of questions based on this ordinance anyway that we could just put out there as maybe for public.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got sort of a draft of a survey, we could talk about that in our next meeting too. I mean, it's, you know, accompanying a public meeting, we could do a survey. I mean, you know, do both. There's no reason we can't try to get input in multiple ways.
Do you think that you and Nick could have a draft for next meeting for us to look at of a survey?
On a survey?
A draft of a survey? Just sure.
Even
all
a
give
list
some
of
what,
even
want.
A list of questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It doesn't have to be formalized as
okay. Yeah.
What,
anyone wants to add.
So what survey?
Do we allow our STRs?
Do what?
How many?
What do you, so you keep saying that. Do we allow our STRs? I mean, I'm not really sure why that question is relevant
do.
Because we do a lot. We have an ordinance for RSTRs. Yes, we
yeah,
have
right.
RSTRs.
But we're working on changing the ordinance, right? So,
but yeah, so the survey thing is, to me, it's like, if you want to have a survey, then that's, if you're going to change the RSTR, then that's why you want a survey. If you're just changing administrative things, why do we have to have a survey? Like, that's, when you start looking at surveys, that means that you're looking at changing the RSTR.
The discussion we just had about 15%. I mean, does it make sense to keep doing things on a percentage basis, or should we just have a number? And what's the right number?
But that's what I'm saying is that that's not necessarily what has that got to do with administrative?
I think we are going beyond administrative.
Exactly,
I think we're,
and that's what I'm saying is why do we want, we keep talking about two different things. First, we're talking about administrative, and can we get that done in a couple of months? And then you're also, you keep talking about how we're going to open it up and start having a survey and all of that. Why can't, they're separate. These are two separate things that we're trying to do.
But the administrative aspect of it, we can change the code that says no CUP and, you know, it's a business license renewal.
Right.
But the details of, you know, do we allow more? Is
no,
the next application that comes in, if
yeah.
the next application that comes in, does Jessica say, no, I mean, we don't have any more RSTRs. Do we want to fix what we know is a problem, the 15%, because we don't even know what 15% of the occupied housing is now. We may have known it when Michaela did it, but it's not a viable, given our resources, it's not a viable way to calculate.
That's
this.
Not what it said. That's not what they said in the webinar. It was a positive thing as far as in the webinar.
What size jurisdictions we're doing?
But well, and we're just a little tiny town, you know, like I just feel like, you know, I guess because I did this once, like I can already feel this. I'm not sure I'm ready for, I mean, I think we need to look into it, but to me, it's something that works, the RSTR. Like, if it's working, why do we have to fix something that's working when it's the administrative thing that we need to fix right now because there is a problem, you know? So I you know, like I said, I feel like we're talking about two different things that seem to be, like, I just want to do this one thing before we do the second thing. The administrative thing that was talked about in the meeting. And then if we want to open up the RSTR, that's great, but not right now. We only have 2 months to do this minimal, I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like, yeah. Administrative.
Tina, can I ask, you and Nick have spent more time thinking about this and digging into it, perhaps, than the rest of us. Is it possible to say, here's the administrative piece, town council, you go do it, and we don't worry about the rest of it? Is it possible to do that?
Following what we have now, right, requires, you know, looking at the 15%. In order for Jessica to do that,
make a decision on an
application, or, you know, say yes there is or not, we do need to do that.
We need to look at more than just changing a business license form or a CUP form, because they follow what's in this code now, and it's
right.
Not possible to follow what's in this code because we don't know.
So the other thing too is, can we just go back to the town council, like you said, and just say, this doesn't work for us. This, what you set, what you want from us is not going to work for us in that time frame. So we need different parameters. This isn't going to work for the planning commission because there's two different distinct things that we're trying to do. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like we're not going to be able to give them maybe what they want in 2 months if we're going to go deeper into it. So, yeah.
And the town council in the last meeting did say that they would prefer just to have stick with the numbers and not the percentage. So that is a change, which right. We'd have to have a hearing.
That we have to have a discussion here. On.
So the town council said what? Would you just clarify that?
That they would prefer that it just be in numbers.
A
hard number and not in percentage.
And so what does that mean? What do you mean a hard number? That
because right now,
five people in the lower bowl, five people in the lower bowl.
Not a percentage of
2019, that percentage.
I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
Well,
so I'll just put something together, and I, as I said, the easiest thing for me to do is make it more readable, so everybody can look at it and say, okay, here is what we are requiring now. And I think Nick and I can give some basic questions about what we're requiring now that we can present to the public, and also make a suggestion to what needs to go in the business license and what that would look like, what that information would need to be in a business license for renewals.
Can I just say one? I'm sorry. So with you went back in all those records, didn't we start off with a hard number and then we went to percentage?
Yes.
I can't remember that. But
yes,
I think
we did.
Yes.
Huh?
I wasn't there, but I've heard it reported that you know, the town council changed it.
Yeah.
We had a
hard number, and they're so now they want us to change again.
It's a different town council.
And that's the thing too, and I appreciate, you know, everybody's patience as far as, you know, us trying to figure this all out, because I was there and I do remember all the work that we did, and at the last minute it got changed and it was just like, you know, whatever. That's just what happened. So that hard number, you did have a hard number.
So in the grand scheme of things, this comes back to some of our conversation earlier about us setting priorities and thinking about the order in which we do things. Our STRs would be pretty low on my list. I mean, we had talked last year, we need to work on the general plan. We know we need to get to zoning, and then a whole lot of other things are going to fall out from the zoning. I think, and we're going to come to this, the potential for a joint meeting with the town council. I think we need to have a clear discussion about, you know, how we work on these things and priorities that are set, and, you know, the logic of, you know, how things get done. So if Tina, you're willing to do some work, the committee, you and Nick, bring something back to us for our next meeting. hopefully we can have a short discussion on it. You know, if it turns out that this is going to be a 6-month endeavor, then I think we can talk about, let's go to the town council and say, we're not going to complete this by your time frame. We suggest you rescind your, you know, moratorium and we'll keep working on it.
Or just let it expire.
Or let it expire and, you know,
work with the old one.
Yeah, well, the current ordinance will stay in place.
If you do that, will you just remember that part of the moratorium included we weren't accepting any new applications?
Right.
So if you do, it would be cool if you would find a solid number. So that I didn't have to.
So we changed that. 50%. Yes, that we changed it to
knowing that you could change whatever you want later
as of 2019.
Yeah, like pick a number.
Just pick a number. If you could just pick a number and then be like, we're going to still work on this till the end of the year. But if
or,
you're going,
you know, we've filled all the slots, right? I mean,
whatever. But I need a number.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're going to allow, I mean, if that's going to happen, then CUP applications will then be allowed.
Right. Okay. So I think we have a plan here. We will have RSTRs on our agenda at the next meeting based on material that Dina and Nick produce, and we'll take it from there.
Sounds good. And I'll try and get that out like 10 days at least before the next meeting.
Cool. Okay, so, that'd be great.
When do we meet in March?
Well, that's our next item, agenda item, actually. Yeah. So I'm moving on to agenda item 13. Discussion of the schedule for the March meeting. I've had a request from Elena, and you can go ahead and say why you've made this request.
Yeah, I'm not able to make the March meeting, and I know we don't usually reschedule based on one person's schedule, but I'm wondering if people might be open to the second Thursday of March. Reason being, I'm doing the EMT course in Escalante, and yeah, there's a class that night on our regularly scheduled one on the 20th. So I'm curious if we could switch it to the 13th. Once again, I know we don't usually do it for one person's schedule, but since it's another volunteer thing for the town, I thought I'd ask.
So basically keep our meeting the second Thursday in March and then change our schedule to the third Thursday in April.
Oh, good. So I have one less week. Thank you so much.
No, because this is the second week.
We're still a month out.
But you still have a month. I don't know if we. Okay. Do we need a vote on? I guess I think we may need a vote on this because we did vote to change our meeting schedule to the third Tuesday starting in March. Or Thursday starting in March. So can I have a motion to change our March meeting to the second Thursday? Which is the 13th of March.
Okay, this is Elena. I make a motion to change our March meeting to Thursday, March 13th instead of Thursday, March 20th.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that for you.
Any further discussion?
I might be having a hard time getting Zoom, but I will try.
Okay.
And Nick can probably take it over and he could just be.
Okay. You're going someplace exotic.
No.
But I won't be in the building.
But I won't be in the building and it's a travel day. So I will figure that out.
In that, and I hope you, Tina's more important during that meeting.
I'm doing a bunch of work for it, so it should be passed on with all my ideas.
Okay. I just meant in that version,
I understand, right?
There's a good chance you can make it on Zoom.
Yeah, I'll make an effort to do that for sure.
Okay, thank you, Tina. So we have a motion on the table to change the March meeting to March 13th. And I have a roll call vote here. Colleen.
Aye.
Aye. Tina Carlson, aye.
Daryl.
Aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Nancy, aye. Okay. And then also in this agenda item, and you changed the agenda on the web, but this was different. So anyway, I wanted to talk. Tina actually made a proposal at the town council last meeting to say they wanted that we should have a joint meeting with the town council. And the town council nodded their heads and said, yes, that's a good idea. So I wanted to see if you all were on board with this. My thought, I think there are a number of topics. We could talk about RSTRs. I'd like to talk about the general plan because I really do want to work forward on that and sort of what are the changes that people may want in it. And just how we work together, setting priorities may be another topic of discussion. Are folks okay with this? And then what sort of timing? I think there was some thought of maybe having it after our April meeting, but I think the timing's wide open, so it's up to us.
There was
no specific date. Okay. What do people think about this, and do they want to do it?
I thought that joint meetings went really well, you know, and I also think that we should look into having, you know, joint meetings maybe on a regular basis, whether it's even once a year or twice a year, that it would be maybe in the bylaws or that we have, because that then it would get done, basically. It would be something that we wouldn't put aside, because I felt those meetings we really added a lot.
Okay, so it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Tina? Well, you suggested it, so. Daryl?
Yeah, I support that.
And any discussion on topics or, you know, issues you'd want to bring up in those meetings? Because we could help craft an agenda, obviously.
Two little things that I keep. I think we have both of these at least addressed. I don't know if they're completely entirely buttoned down, but number one, before we get bigger and signage regs, that can do a lot to help increase the value and the way the town looks. So to make sure that we have that set up, and so for signs, for businesses and their signs, you know, can you have massive 80-foot tall neon signs?
We have a sign ordinance.
So I just wanted to triple check and go back at it and look and say, okay, does it work? Number one. And then also I know we already have this, but to double check to say, is our dark skies, does that have us covered so that we don't have our Dollar General show up with 10,000 watts just gleaming into the air?
So both of those, we do have ordinances for them. I'd suggest you take a closer look at them and see if something jumps out at you as being of concern. I will say, in my previous experience in jurisdictions, sign ordinances are just as bad as RSTRs or ADUs or, I mean, unbelievable debate about it. But anyway,
we can do it early enough that probably we can not have, you know.
Well,
you should read it
because I think
it's extremely harsh.
We've got good signs. We've got good sign ordinance. Yeah. So take a look at it there.
I think for subjects too, I think we need to talk about subjects that we're talking about that are applicable to what we're doing, you know, like the general plan and the RSTR. So every 6 months, we're talking to the TC as far as what they're expecting of us, because I just feel like there's a lot of back and forth. Like, I feel like we're working on something, and then it's just like the duplexes. It just seemed like they kind of came out of nowhere, and I thought we had to focus on some different things. Not that I don't want to talk about duplexes, but there again, it's just like, oh, now they've added something else to our plate.
Right.
So, you know, if we could talk about things that were applicable to what we're doing, you know, as far as subject matter.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other thoughts on sort of joint meeting topics? I think we'll have time. This is not going to occur before our March meeting, so we've got time. Think about it, and we can talk about it at our March meeting. Okay, agenda item 14, summary of meeting decisions. Well, we passed the CUP for Hell's Backbone. we tabled the discussion on bylaws to a future meeting. And I will commit to going through the comments and trying to create a clean draft based on Michael's comments and see, and then put it in the folder. I can put it in the folder for the next meeting, and once we work on an agenda for the next meeting, we can decide how much time we want to spend on bylaws. I'd just like to get it out of the way, honestly. We decided that RSTRs, we would proceed with Tina and Nick continuing to do some work and bringing back some ideas at our next meeting. We decided we'd change our March meeting to the second Thursday, and we support the idea of a TCPC meeting. Any thoughts on timing for that, preferences or?
I think it's kind of like put it out to the town council and they can decide.
So sometime maybe between our April and May meeting, I mean, we could make a suggestion and say, you know, would that work? Is that okay?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Not the first or the third Thursday.
Not the first or the third Thursday.
It'll right? be it's a,
yeah. So the fourth Thursday in April or something. I don't know. Who knows? Okay. Upcoming business at our March meeting. I've done a little bit of this general code, the RSDR code. I put the general plan on here because I personally think we need to continue to talk about what we're going to do with it, but we don't have anything specific right now. We've been given some direction now by town council that they want commercial. They want us to look at commercial. They want us to look at some use of town lands, and they want us to look at this one other thing. Better guidance on capital budget.
So, better guidance, that's for us?
For the general plan, to put in the general plan, that the general plan would potentially identify projects of interest or.
Oh, right. That's right. There is one coming up, too.
I know there's one coming up, so. So I don't know. I mean, do you want to keep this on our agenda for our next meeting to talk about the general plan?
Can I just ask that maybe we can do a little homework on what things we can actually look at as far as the ideas of even putting in that, you know, the how we work with public comment and or a public, like we did with the sign, with the pedestrian path, that kind of public input on public grounds is what he talked about. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, that wasn't what I was referring to, but are you okay, Daryl?
Maybe.
Oh, it was like that earlier. I tried pushing it. It wasn't you. I said,
don't lean back.
Budget. So the budget for like what areas the town should budget for?
No, well, sort of public priorities perhaps in the general plan. I mean, you know, do we want to focus more on playing fields or improved roads or an art center or plan can reflect some potential priorities that the community may have.
It helps in making capital
budget decisions.
Yeah. So if you know that in the general plan, one of your biggest and top priorities is to put in an arts building, then you find the funding for that.
But this comes back to, we've got to revise the general plan. I have asked,
I think it's a process that we put in the general plan for doing that, because how do we know unless we do a whole survey, I guess?
Well, we can't, but
general, what if your comment was, we want nothing to happen to the north side of the building for the next 10 years? That needs to be in the general plan, or like we see.
Okay, how do we get to
growth.
That point?
Well, we have a process, yeah. A public process, which means right. We have to start on our general plan process, which we've talked about for quite a while now. So, you know, there was a point where I had suggested that you all take a look at the general plan and identify, you know, sections that you think need to be updated. And we did identify the fact that, you know, data, we needed more current data because it was out of date. But we didn't go any deeper than that and say we ought to change, we need to focus more on this or this or this. Town Council's now giving us some direction to say, you know, we want you to look at some other things, like what do you do with the land out here? But that's all going to be a public, it's a process in the development of that plan. And we've got to take a step to do it. We have to say, all right, our next meeting, we're going to talk about how we have public involvement in thinking about our general plan. What kind
so
of
so that would be part of the budget in the budget part of our general plan, which I don't think we have. Is that what you're thinking? That it's a particular.
It doesn't have to be a particular monetary thing, but it's just a priority in the town is to make public use of the lot on the north side of Town Hall.
So this is like a goal.
Right.
Okay.
How to spend some money.
Yeah, I mean, we don't say what money or, and we know we may get a lot of public input on what the priority should be for.
Okay.
It isn't even really tied to money at this level when you put it in your general plan. It's just saying that we want to do this. And so then later, you either allocate money or you don't.
Right. So the question is, at our next meeting, do we want to talk about the process we're going to use to update the general plan? Because I think that is the first step we have to take is, you know, do we want to form a committee and some folks sort of do some work on it? Do we want to have a public meeting and look at all the sections in the plan and say, this one's great, this one needs change, this one is fine? Can we talk about that process at our next meeting?
Okay, that there, yeah. I understand that. Thank you.
Well, and I think that's what we did before with the general plan. We had different people looking at it, you know, as far as, and that's when we inserted one thing as far as the roads, and then everybody decided we didn't really need to do any more updating. We had done all we need because we have a good general plan, but it does need to be updated occasionally.
Right. And I think we've got a great general plan. It just, you know, it probably needs some tweaking.
Yeah.
So, and but roads. Let's talk about how we're going to do that. Okay. I'll make it an agenda item. And then duplexes. So this is, you know, Town Council has given us a topic. The memo that John sent out just before the meeting has a whole list of ideas that he has gathered, background research he's done on duplexes and where we may want to change our code. So let's talk through that at our next meeting. Okay. Any other topics?
And I'm sorry, that information is in
John sent a memo out to the Planning Commission two hours ago. It has a bunch of duplex info in it.
Okay, great.
The last topic's on there.
Okay.
Okay, so next meeting, I've got RSDR code, general plan process discussion, duplexes. Anything else? Okay.
No, did we talk about
things? Well, bylaws.
Bylaws. We did talk about bylaws.
We, you know.
Can we skip that?
We can skip bylaws, or I'll get a clean draft based on Michael's input, John's input. I can put it in the folder. You can comment on it. And okay. I guess, you know, we can decide. We could change the agenda in real time when we do agenda approval. You know, that night we can say, well, the bylaws are looking great. Why don't we put it on our agenda and approve them tonight?
As long as they get it to us ahead of time. I got on this morning, it was just like, now wait a second, I was hoping that I would be reading something.
We could put a moratorium on comments from
and I do think that's what because it was like, well, I'm not gonna even go through this because
it's changing in real time.
Right up until our
meeting. Okay. All right, last agenda item here, if we're done with talking about our next meeting, is final public comments, agenda item 16. Any comments from the public sitting here or anyone online? John, I did notice you had your hand up, but I thought, okay, John's got his hand up. Go for it, John.
Let anyone else go first.
There isn't anybody else.
Okay. Well, first I want to thank everyone for a great, it's been a very, I think I listened to a very productive meeting. A lot of people were making very meaningful comments, and I really appreciate that. So thank you all for your effort. I think we will smooth out these issues of how to work on things. And I would say, yes, having a rush of comments the last day of the meeting is not good, but it may be better than not having any input at all and having to take another month. The other comment I was going to make is just on this whole issue of, well, you were talking about general plan process and RSTRs in the same context of getting public input. And in my experience, and this is not unique to planning, but more in other things that have involved formal public public input processes, the most effective public input tends to be where you have a meeting that's at the scoping stage. You're trying to identify issues and alternatives, and that usually works best when there's some presentation at the start of the topics that are of concern, some draft alternatives, and then start some structured solicitation of public comment on the alternatives and both alternatives missing, ranking of alternatives, and so forth. That's the most effective place, and you can call it a public meeting, a forum, a workshop, a hearing, but I think getting public input early in the process is really much more important than asking for public comment on wordsmithing a final draft. So that's true of the federal EIS process. That was true of a rulemaking and on environmental issues. It's been true on planning type issues. So it's something to think about as you develop your bylaws, your procedure for the general plan, and how you're going to move forward on RSTR. So thank you again for all your good work.
Thanks, John. I will take a motion.
Make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Tina.
I'll second that, Elena.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, all. You realize it's 8:10. So
yeah.
Almost made our goal of 2 hours.
Got a lot done.